Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, title of today's message is The Cost of Being a Real Man. Now today we celebrate Father's Day. It's just a time for us to take tribute to those men who have impacted our lives. Some of them have been our own fathers. Some of them have been grandfathers, uncles, cousins, you name it. We say thank you for your love. We say thank you for your time, for your sacrifices. Thank you for mending bruises when we fell. Thank you for fixing bicycles and putting them together, even though you had parts left over at the end. Thank those of you who know what it is to pay tuition, what it is to go to work. Thank you for all of those who know what it is to build us up and to bring us to church. Thank those of you who are our teachers, our coaches, our friends, our advisors, and our protectors. Thank you who've served us as elders, deacons, pastors, lay pastors. We say thank God for the men that he has given us. Amen. One of the great privileges in life is that of being a father. Now, some of you men, I can look out there today and I can see some of you who have been incredible fathers. You've been with your child from the moment of conception right up and through today, and you're still there slaving for them. Keep up the good work. Now, some of you out there, you've been okay fathers. You know, you made a few bit more than your share of mistakes, amen. But you're now trying to make up for those mistakes and put things right. To you, I say, keep up the job. You're gonna make it. Now, some of you, I look out there and I see you, and you know you ain't the father you ought to be, amen. And you still haven't made up your mind that you're gonna start doing what you know in your heart is the right thing to do. Let this be your Father's Day in which you say, it's time for me to make a change. Amen. Now, when God looks at men, he sees incredible potential for what they could be. Look at a man, look at a boy, and tell him, you got some incredible potential. Incredible potential. Now, man, look at yourself and say, I got incredible potential. All right, you've got some incredible potential. God lays his reputation on the line by allowing himself to be called our Heavenly Father. You see, when God created us, every child that comes into this world comes in with a built-in thing to make them want to love their father. They come in loving dad. They don't know who he is, but when they see it, they love dad. Now, men, what we do is either going to build upon that love or it's going to squash that love. And if it squashes that love, we're going to have a lot of angry people growing up. Amen? So I want you to understand, men, that you are important. And the love that you have is important. So men, say I'm important and my love is important. You see, when we have a bad image of our earthly father, it makes it a little bit more difficult to understand the heavenly father. And sometimes if the earthly father has been a mess, we can't even talk to others about the heavenly father because they've got this marred image. And for an earthly father to be a great father, he needs to be in touch with the heavenly father who mends all relationships. Amen? Now, before a man becomes a father, he ought to be a real man. Say real man. Now, I find it interesting that in the context of the scriptures, you do not see God referred to as our heavenly father until after Jesus took on the form of human flesh and became a man. For in Jesus, we discover what a real man ought to be about. One day I was downstairs in the fellowship hall and I was talking to one of the ladies, one of the older ladies, and she had fixed her hair up and was looking really nice. And I told her, I said, you really look nice today. And she said, well, thank you. You know what? I might still be able to find me old half a piece of man to marry. Now, how many of you have an idea of what she meant by a half of a piece of a man? Now, are there any men who are out there aspiring to be a half of a piece of a man? Anybody looking for a three-quarter of a piece of a man? No, men, we know that that is not our calling. That is not our purpose. That should not be where we end up with our lives. So if we know we've got a higher calling, let's allow God to work in us so that whether we 70, 85, 90, 95, they still know we are a whole man that's all put together. Amen? Now, when you hear the phrase, "Now there goes a real man," what image comes to your mind? Do you see someone who's big and athletic with bulging muscles, kind of like me? Do you see someone very attractive with a lot of sex appeal? Do you see someone with a lot of power and money to throw around? Do you see someone who can take charge to get whatever it is they want to get? When we hear that phrase, "there goes a real man," every one of us probably sees something different. I want you to know, we've got some real men that you can look up to right here in this congregation. We got some real men who know what it is to take care of their kids. We got some real men who know what it is to pay tuition instead of getting that new sports car they wanted. We got some real men who knows what it is to say, "This is my wife. I've been with her for 30 years. I want to be with her for 30 years more. And I'm just excited about her today as I was a long time ago." Those are the kinds of things that make up real men. We got some real men who can say, "Even though I'm single, I'm living a celibate life. I'm not chasing anybody. I'm not watching pornography. I'm being what God wants me to be. And if he sends me a woman, praise God. But if he doesn't, praise God anyways." A real man is one who recognizes there is a greater purpose in life than simply living to take care of your own needs. Let me say that again. A real man realizes there is a greater purpose in life than simply taking care of your own needs. We got way too many of us living for our own needs. One man that recognized this need more than any other was Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear from the beginning. He said, "I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father." And what was that will? His will was for him to become a sacrifice in order for the rest of us to have a real chance at a right relationship with God so that we could become real men. Now, how many of you know real men do not happen by accident? They don't be driving down the street one day and bump into something and say, "Oh, I'm a real man now." Be nice if it happened that way, but it doesn't. Real men are not determined by how much money they make. You talk about, "Ooh, child, yeah. You ought to see how much money he makes. You better see what he like behind the money, amen." Real men are not determined by where they live, the color of their skin, how much education they do or do not have. They are not determined by how well they play sports, how good of a voice they have to sing or to rap, or how well they can dress, or what car they drive. Real men are determined by the choices they make, the stands they take, and the commitments they complete as they build relationships. A real man understands that he is a soldier in battle and somebody is out to mess him up. How many of you know Satan is out to get you? I want you to know that Satan has his arrows already aimed at you. He got you in the scope of his gun. And you know something? He's got bullets coming in your direction. It would be good if we could see them bullets, boy, what they are, if they were metal. And when they hit us, they ripped off some skin and some flesh so that we could immediately look and see, "Man, what this has done to me." If we knew those bullets was coming, we would be ducking and diving and hiding behind this and hiding behind that. But Satan is too smart to do that. He don't just shoot something at you. So they come in there real easy and slow like. Comes in at a low velocity. Sometimes it's sweet and pretty and seductive. Sometimes it's an invitation that says, just try me this one time. Sometimes it says, here's a very easy way to get some money. Sometimes it says, you ain't gotta worry. Ain't nobody gonna know about it. Sometimes it says, you know, you's a man, and every man is entitled to a good time every now and then. It ain't like you're gonna keep on. You know what? Sometimes it's not until we've got on the other side of the good time that we realize we've been hit and we've been wounded. For some of us, that wound grows and it grows, and we find ourselves in predicaments we never thought we would be in. Any of you ever found yourself somewhere you never thought you would get to be? Okay, you know Satan has gone what he's done to you in the past. Are you going to be ready the next time that same bullet comes in your direction? Because some of us dumb enough to say, well, I handle it once, I know I'll handle it again. Now, sometimes you need to run for your life. Tell your neighbor, run for your life. Pastor Toby said, don't stop, just run. Satan took 3 shots at Jesus. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness and he was hungry, Satan came to tempt him. And Satan told him, he says, look, since you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Go ahead so you can eat. In other words, show me that you'll do whatever is necessary to get your needs met. Men, we're going to be tempted at times to do what is necessary to get our needs met without thinking about what's happening further down the road. We can see this with the destruction of our youth. We've got so many of us just interested in sex, not in being fathers. How many of you know sex leads to fatherhood? Okay, for those of you who didn't, sex leads to fatherhood. I need to say it again. We need more men interested in being fathers. We need more men who can say, my needs can wait. I've got a higher calling on my life. My future is too important for 20 minutes of fun. That's the kind of cost involved in being a real man. You see, fathers are important. Can you say that with me? Fathers are important. Now, all of you who are single moms, I admire you like the Dickens. But I'm telling you, fathers are important in children's lives. So you need to help us men out and recognize that it is wrong for me to bring a child here knowing that I'm not going to be there for that child. We have so many angry young men come through our church. And you know what? Unfortunately, sometimes we just the stepping stone because they leave our church and they go on to prison. We got a lot of them that go on to college, but we still got too many of them going on to prison. When we choose to be a father and we choose to walk away, we triple our chance, our child's, male child's chances of going to prison. we double our daughter's chances of becoming a teenage mother. And before you say, I made it and my dad wasn't there, that's you. That's not the child that you're about to have. You know, I used to think that it didn't bother me that I didn't know my father. I really thought it didn't. It wasn't until about 5 years ago that something just hit me inside and I got angry. So you may be thinking it doesn't have an effect, but it does. Fathers are important. Fathers are important. And fathers, if you're not even with your child's mother anymore, don't want nothing else to do with them, that child still needs you. And for those of you who say, your daddy ain't no good, I don't want you to have nothing else to do with him, it's still his or her daddy. And if the person want to have some kind of contact, you can't make them have some. But if they want to, you ought to do what you can to make it happen. Satan's second shot at Jesus came in the form to live recklessly and believe everything's going to work out in the end. He took Jesus up to the highest point on the temple, and he said, Jesus, jump down from here. Throw yourself down. What is written in the scriptures, that before you hit the ground, the angels will catch you. I mean, you know, a real man doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He knows what his purpose is. He cannot be talked into doing something foolish just to be seen by others or to get their approval. He doesn't take that foolish path of thinking that no matter what I do, everything is going to work out in the end. How many of you know everything doesn't always work out in the end? People do end up in jail. People do end up getting AIDS. People do end up dying from it. People do end up getting killed in robberies. People do end up getting addicted to drugs. They do end up losing their marriages, their families, and their kids because they do something reckless. Real men are focused on what truly matters. They don't risk what they have on the whims and the dares of somebody else. Real men don't mind looking like they wimps or looking like they punks or whatever else you want to call them when they know it means I'm protecting my future. You call me what you want to call me. I'm protecting my future. There's nothing brave or manly about taking stupid chances. Just because you got God watching over you, don't tempt God to have to come and get you out of something that you shouldn't have got yourself in the first place. Satan's third shot at Jesus came in the form of getting everything you want by living with compromise, living at a discount. Real men know the danger of compromised life. You see, Jesus was taken by Satan up on a high mountain, and he says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world with all their wealth, with all their glory, with all their power. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to do any of that suffering. All you need to do is just worship me. I want you to notice that he didn't say, I don't want you to worship God too. I just want you to include me in it. Just compromise what you know is right. Jesus says, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You know, men, most of us, we get hit most often with this area of compromise. We don't mind God being God, but how many of you will confess you want to leave a little room on the throne for you? Two of us, three of us, four, five of us, six. All right. We want to leave a little room on the throne for us. We reluctantly give up being able to call the shots. Real men are men that are able to be dependent upon. You see, when we are in charge of calling the shots, you know what we do? We make ourselves little gods. How many of you know we make lousy gods? Even with the best of intentions, we make lousy gods. Real men realize that I need a commanding officer. The commanding officer, his job is to tell us what to do, when to do it. Real man recognizes the authority of God in his life. It's kind of ironic that in order to be a great man, you have to recognize that you are a worthless man. Let me say that again. In order to become a great man, you got to recognize that you are a worthless man. Because what are we like without God? And here's where we fool you women all the time. Y'all think we sweet, kind, charming, good looking. Oh, y'all just think y'all got something. Y'all know what y'all got when we ain't living for the Lord? You got selfishness. You got lust. You got folks who will use their power to get what it is they want to get. Shall I go on, man, or shall I stop? That's what y'all got. And y'all wonder why it's so hard to get along with us. And when we knock God off the throne and start sitting up there, oh, my goodness sakes. You see, the very things we seek to have, we will destroy when we are in charge and when we worship ourselves. Old Testament reading said, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked, stand in the seat of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Man, God wants to have every one of us be blessed. He wants every man to have a blessed life. And he takes us right where we are. God doesn't say you got to be a good man to come to him. All we got to do is come to him. And right where we are, he starts building us, shaping us, molding us, making us what we need to be. Now, we do have some direct orders from our commander in Scripture. We read one of them with husbands. He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know what that means? It means quit thinking primarily about yourself, what your needs and your desires are, and start loving this other person. How many of you believe that if LeBron James had tried to score as many points as he could in any game he played in, the Cavs would not have made it to the playoffs? Even if you're the best of stars, if you're not a team player, the thing doesn't work. In a marriage, we're talking about a commitment as a team, being there for this other person, not trying to see what you can get out of it. But how is it that you can build this thing into something as putting as much into it as possible? We've received orders from on high, and Colossians says, men, husbands, do not be harsh with your wives. Any of you ever been harsh with your wife where you said something but it came out a little bit rougher or stronger than you intended for it to be? I see that hand. Is there another? I see that hand. Is there another? We got seven brothers that'll be up here when we give the invitation today. It is so easy for us as men to do that. There is just something about us. And I'm still working on it. When y'all talk about praying for the pastor, be specific. And Lord, help him not to be harsh tonight when he's talking to Pastor Toby, no matter what the problem is. All right, do I have five people that'll pray for that? So I can know who, okay. Thank you, Pastor Toby. Would somebody escort her to the nursery? In Peter, we are further commanded to be considerate of our wives and to treat them with respect. Where are we reluctant sometimes to demonstrate that respect? Do you cut her off midstream when she's trying to talk to you in front of other people? Do you value her opinion? Do you embarrass her, put her down in front of others? Real man knows how to encourage his wife, how to build her up, how to respect not only his wife, but all women. Knows how to respect his daughters. Make sure that his sons respect his daughters. That's the job of a real man. We have received honors from on high concerning our children. It says, don't exasperate, which means to provoke or anger our children by our actions. You see, when we don't love our kids like we're supposed to, it hurts. It closes their spirits. It is painful. When we just, all we do is come in and give orders and do this, do that, and there's no love behind them, we're provoking them to anger. We are provoking them. When we're telling them, you don't do what I say, or do what I say, you don't have to do what I do, it just doesn't work that kind of a way. A real man recognizes he's got to be what he wants that child to be. Because the scripture says, bring them up in the training and knowledge of the Lord. How many of you know you can't bring somebody up in something if you don't have it yourself? Amen? Real men don't send their kids to church. They don't send them to pioneers. They come with them. Because if it's important to you, then it's important to them. If it ain't important to you, why should it be important to them? Our youth are looking to us as fathers and as men as examples. What are they looking when they look real close? You see, men, we all have incredible worth. We all have incredible potential. And we're always influencing somebody in one direction or another. Real men recognize that not all of us are men are going to do our part, and that we have to do some parenting in some other people's lives who are not our own. How do we do it? We do it by volunteering as teachers, as coaches, as big brothers, as mentors. We need those kinds of things. Jesus says the greatest love you can have is to lay down your life for a friend. Real men know what it's like to lay down their lives for somebody else for the cause of Christ. But men, none of us are capable of being what God wants us to be without a personal relationship to Jesus. I find myself wanting to do good, but there's just enough selfishness in me to keep me from doing it. God has to have his way in our lives. And you see, men, the only role model that'll never fail us is Jesus. I can't tell you to look at me too long, because if you do, you'll be repenting right along with me, repenting. I can only point you to Jesus, who is the ultimate one. You see, Jesus, as a man, he knows the struggles that you have and the struggles that you're going through. As God, he knows he's got the strength to help you get through whatever you need to get through. But the price is not cheap. It costs you a whole lifetime of commitment of saying no to your own desires and yes to God's plan for your life, day in, day out. When it's